I have a very important subject to deal with tonight. If you would want a title for my subject, I would call it The Big Bang of the Scientist versus the Big God of the Scriptures. You may not know, but recently it was announced that a very special scientific enterprise had been completed, and at the cost of £3.6 billion, a special machine has been invented to give the answers to the mystery of the creation of this world. This colossal machine is 17 miles long. It's cooled by supercooling magnets. It's buried deep down in the earth under the borders of France and Switzerland. And there was great excitement when it was declared that this was finished and it would commence its investigation to find out about the Big Bang and what happened after there was a Big Bang. Of course, we are wise enough to know that there was no such thing as a Big Bang. But what happened to their machinery? It had a Big Bang. And millions of pounds worth of engineering was destroyed. It's now closed down for 2 months, and its organizers have announced that there will be no news for the world about how the world was made until 2 months' time, and then they will be able to tell us. What happens if at 2 months' time they have another Big Bang? What happens then? We will wait. And we'll see. But running parallel with this colossal nonsense of scientists, so-called, we have had a new announcement about the ancient stones of Stonehenge. We have been told that those stones go back thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years. And now they have discovered no such thing, that they are only dated back to the years of B.C. So proud man is caught up in the lunacy of his unbelief. But I'm glad tonight we don't need to have any worry about their billions or millions. We don't need to have any worry about their big bangs and what's going to happen. We have the Word of the Living God. And the God who made this world has spoken. In simple, plain, understandable language. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. Man, puny and proud, scientific and sinful, advanced but retarded, has blown once again his tiny trumpet of self-congratulation and adoration, and has pontificated that he at long last, with his great intelligence, his infinite wisdom, his painstaking research, has solved the mystery of the universe. The message is this: the men of science are in their laboratories, Let all the earth be silent and wait for them. We'll have to wait for them for 2 months at least. I am sure you have been reading the papers, and they are telling us that now they're going to be able to carefully and wonderfully and meticulously chart the whole progress of the universe. Now it has been announced that at a certain point 15 billion years ago. I love the scientists. They have it all down right to the end. No months, no weeks, no fortnights, no 2 months period. They know exactly when it started. 15 billion years ago. And 15 billion years ago, they say this earth started after there was a big bang. And in the minutes after there was a big bang, we got the answer. It could have gone to the right or to the left. But fortunately, it went to the right. And so the world came into existence. And then, and I'm sure you'll laugh at this, they have said quart soup was produced. Now, that is their scientific definition for what happened. What is this quart soup? It is a scientific cereal. You need to have it for breakfast. And it is the words of scientists to say that when there are matters that they don't understand, they call it quart soup. What about a plate of quart soup tomorrow morning? How would you feel after that? I was watching television and I heard one of the scientists proclaim that they now know the secret. That they have solved the riddle. They know exactly the timing of the beginning of the universe. But they're not all agreed. Because a former astronomer, a royal, one of the highest appointments in that form of studying the universe, he says it's all pure codswabble. Well, I would suggest to you that if you had quart soup and codswaddle, you would have a very fine breakfast, dinner, or tea, or supper. Another scientist has said that as we started with a big bang, we will all disappear with another big bang. Let not the stupid people of this world be worried what they say. For that second big bang is not going to come, they tell us, for another 20 million years. 20 million. It's going up. These years, millions by million, can increase very rapidly. I want you to understand that I have before me a book that has all the answers. This book was not written by man. When I was a young boy, I went into a second-hand bookstore one day, and I bought a book. It was a book written by a man called Joseph. And he said something that always stuck with me. He said, in the first verse of the Bible, I find the message of the whole volume of God's Word. That first verse can be represented in many ways. It is a manner of announcement. It is sudden thunder. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Yes, it's not only an announcement, but it is a revelation of the first morning of this earth. And the morning that dawned, delivering this world from utter darkness. This is the infinite speech of the infinite God that a child, a simple child, can understand. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Taken as a sentence, there is no grandeur, grander sentence in all the dictionary. Taken as an inspired thought, who can climb to the top of the elevation here mentioned? Taken as a direct voice from eternity, who can challenge it with uncertainty or with apology? It's the dateless date. It drowns them all in a deeper sea. On that great ocean of time beginning, millenniums are only turfs of foam. Joseph Parker said, look at the word God. He enters his book without any definition. He makes no explanation. He is not entering into argument. He's making a declaration. In the beginning, God created. Who did it? God did it. Who has preserved it? God has preserved it. Who will preserve it to the final day of judgment? And there will be a big bang one day, for the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and this earth as we know it is going to pass away. And that day is coming. And it's not millions of years away. In such a day that you know not, the Son of Man is coming. You will remember that Moses raised the voice of song when he led the children of Israel successfully through the Red Sea. And he sang, who is like unto thee, O Lord among the gods, who is like unto thee? The writing of Moses. And I bring your attention to John's Gospel at the 5th chapter and the verse 46. What did Christ say? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. I say to these godless scientists, I say to these Christless scholars, I say to those so puffed up with their own self-declared intelligence and genius, that they close their eyes to the one who is truth incarnate. If you'd believed Moses, you would have believed Christ. The heavens, they declare the glory of God. The firmament, it showeth his handiwork. Why can't men of science, so called, see it? I'll tell you why. They have jettisoned God from their thought. They've put God out of his own universe. And the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you turn to the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, you will find that the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. All around us, we have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. To reject the Bible is to make choice of the lie. And by making choice of the lie, our conscience becomes blurred and diseased, and man becomes a fool. What does the Bible say? Because that which may be known of God is manifested where? In them, for God has showed it unto them. Isn't it interesting to note that there has never been a tribe of man or woman upon this earth that didn't want to worship? Never in all history has there been found a tribe or a people that didn't want to worship. They didn't worship the true God because they were blinded by their sin. But they wanted to worship because within man's heart there is the innate desire to worship. That's the way we were made. And even in the darkest tribes, there was this desire to worship, because the Bible says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are shown to all who walk this world. Oh, I tell you, when you read the nonsense of these men, you realize how subtly Satan has deceived them. A scientist was asked some time ago, if you could find 100 typewriters and let them loose upon 100 chimpanzees to dance on them, would it be possible that those monkeys would produce accurately the entire works of Shakespeare by dancing on the typewriters? You know what they said? Yes, it would be possible. But if they got these chimpanzees dancing, they could produce an accurate copy of all the works of Shakespeare. A man who would say that, you wouldn't trust him to walk down the street. But he says that, telling you that he is the true prophet of the future. And he alone can interpret for this world its future. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of this earth. In the beginning of the heavens. In the beginning of salvation, in the beginning of grace, in the beginning of the gospel, it's God. It was God that loosed the swaddling clothes of the mists of the first morning and brought about the revelation of an horizon. Survey history, and you can see God in every page. Look into the heavens and study the stars. And man as yet doesn't know how many they are. He hasn't counted them. They must be floating in the quartz soup, but he hasn't found them all. Look into God's word, and in simple words, you'll find in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What God creates, God protects. What God protects, God redeems. What God redeems, God prizes. And what God prizes, God completes. I have news for you all tonight. God did not start building the tower and then leave off halfway through. God will complete his work. He did not start down the furrow and then forsake the plow mid-furrow. God will complete the score he is making. Christ, we read, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Creation predicts redemption. Redemption predicts resurrection. Resurrection predicts ascension. And ascension predicts glory. And thank God, the blood predicts the forgiveness of sins. And in this Bible, we are introduced to God. In the beginning, God, a loving God, a sovereign God, a saving God, a sustaining God, a God who sent his Son to be the Savior, not the destroyer of this world. Unsaved soul, I say to you tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the beginning, it is God. In the end, it is God. When death calls us away, we will go to be with God if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let us turn from the nonsense of men and the utter folly of the fools who have graduated in the devil's universities. And let us turn from the presumptions of men to the truth of the gospel. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But there's another verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I trust tonight you will have that firm faith to cast your anchor on the rock of ages. And he will cover it there with his hand. And when the sands of time for you have run out, he will take you to the city of the everlasting King. Be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. Write it upon our hearts and grant none of us may leave this meeting in the darkness of the folly and foolishness of sin. But may we seek the Lord and turn to his word and find peace and happiness in him. And spread your covering wings around. till all our wandering cease, and at our Father's blessed abode we'll all arrive in peace. And everybody said,
Amen.